Parks. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
So far.
Beautiful day out there.
Let's start high and see where we end up, huh?
That's right.
Our quote this morning comes from Lord Alfred Tennyson. To strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. Obviously, it was just part of a sentence, but that's what he went with. What is the biggest issue right now, Greg, that the city's dealing with?
Boy, you know, the biggest issue for us, I think, continues to be how do we maintain the open space waterfront property? You know, we just
recently... Okay, regular guy. We're not in council meeting here. Open space means what?
That means, call it Palco Marsh, the area behind Bayshore Mall.
That one specifically, not all the parks.
Talking about, in a sense, the waterfront area, I think is... Probably most people know the council did approve a property maintenance plan for that area that really had a goal of shrinking the illegal encampment issue along the waterfront. And we have started that process. There's basically no camping directly behind Bayshore Mall now. The police department had since kind of pushed that to the north, trying to consolidate that, make it easier from dealing with enforcement issues.
Is it working?
It has been in terms of easier for PD to get in and deal with some of the issues that when we had the, you know, three days of stabbings in there, you know, a few weeks back.
Now it's just a couple a week.
Yeah, right. And
so they're responding to this, or the hassling them is engaged?
Well, what we're trying to do is, anyone who's been back there at all or seen it from the water, is this growing conglomeration of not only tents, but tarps, pallets.
It's a mini town.
Kind of a mini shanty town.
Yeah, yeah.
And certainly in violation of city camping ordinance that's been a given for some time.
That really bothers them, I know.
Right, right. So the idea is we've got to get rid of the pallets. We've got to get rid of the building materials that get brought back there, whether it's old tires that are used, and start shrinking this down to where it isn't more than just tents. And at the same time, make sure that we're making contact with people about services that are available. There is different housing available still. We aren't maxed out on available beds in the area.
Are they ignorant of that?
You know, they shouldn't be, because they're service fairs once a month with social service providers.
Well, the informal but network is what I was thinking. I mean, they know if a house is unoccupied 3/4 of the way across town, they don't know that there are services available half a mile away.
Well, some of it is you keep telling, you know, this is what you're doing now. That isn't just going to be the way it's going to stay for the next 6 months. Here's your options.
And it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend, the best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Greg, the concept of managing, controlling, I think those are probably his best case scenarios.
Right.
Dealing with homeless for the city of Eureka. You've also got a cultural change you have to somehow get those of us who go, oh, look, there goes a guy on a bike at 6:30 in the morning. Isn't that weird? Just standing and paying attention and watching them until they disappear. And that whole community knowing that they're being watched all the time by everybody in the city. Can you get there? Is there the political will or the cultural will? And I suppose that I know a lot of times those are linked. Is there the will to do that?
Well, I think getting back to, like I say, that kind of that crime piece, people on bikes in the dark checking cars, that's where I think we are seeing Neighborhood Watch becoming even more actively engaged in the year and a half. I know that I've been here, and certainly Chief's been here a little longer than me. It's gone back over a number of years, but I think we're seeing our Neighborhood Watch committees getting even stronger and making that pitch in neighborhoods of getting out and being more active. You're seeing the people wearing the fluorescent vests on Neighborhood Watch. And I know when I've out walking in the evening and now, of course, after dark, you pay attention to what's going on. And you see, you see somebody on a bike with no lights in the dark, then pay attention to what they're doing and seeing if they're checking cars or going into people's yards. And
I heard a statistic. Boy, I wish I... That there's a huge increase in pedestrian bicycle accidents. And most of it is coming from bicyclers. These are the tidy shorts folks, as well as the guys we're talking about, not observing stop signs. Just blowing through, hell-bent for leather, not slowing down. And every once in a while, there's a piece of metal in their way.
Well, I don't remember what the statistics were on that, because we just at this last council meeting had the approval of our transportation safety action plan. And one of the things we see was about a 40% reduction in accidents in about the past year. And we think there's a couple things that have really helped that. The pedestrian countdown lights, we think those have been helpful. We've had a educational campaign going on. I think there's more we can do from engineering type improvements that we've been doing over the years. So I think there's a number of things that go to help that. But one of the things that was identified in that plan is the problem with the bicycle and automobile collisions, and it's quite often riding the wrong way on the one way. Or on the wrong side of the street type thing, and that doesn't tend to be what you'd call maybe experienced recreational bikers. It's
you don't like tight short pants, huh?
Right. Hey, well, I have a pair of those.
Yeah, I kind of knew that.
I'm not much of a serious biker, though. That's right.
But yeah, there seems to be just maybe tunnel vision. Might be, because it's not the kids riding the bikes,
right?
Doing that, it's the adults doing it. That seems to be complicating things a little bit. Is Caltrans stepping up at all? Are they part of the discussion? I mean, you talk about a transportation safety plan.
You know, certainly our focus is on the city streets that we have control over, but you always have to pay attention to 101 is significant. Source of accidents, and we do have those kind of regular discussions with Caltrans and what can be done to improve the system, through Eureka. So
yeah, along Broadway.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen, it's amazing. I guess these guys anticipate having the center lane available to either skid, stop, swerve, something. You just see them on the cross streets, and everybody has, just blasting across, and then having to. Make it through the kind of like Frogger. You make it through the first two lanes, and you got to stop and shift. There were plans, there was discussions, there was thoughts on ways to help control that over the past couple of years. Are any of those close to being implemented?
Well, one of the things, project or a study that was recently completed was the South Gate entry area, and really looked at how to better both calm traffic coming into town from the south, In some cases, improving the, in a sense, kind of the medians through there and the lighting. And so that project has now been submitted to Caltrans to try to get into their funding cycle. So, I mean, this is a, you know, it's a few years out. These things don't happen, you know, 6 months after they're completed. But pretty serious look taken at in terms of how to just calm traffic coming in and how to improve the safety, as well as some certainly aesthetic improvements as well, because that's aesthetically...
Yeah, it's butt ugly coming in from the south. I mean, no question
right,
about it.
Right.
So is this designed to get the cars to act safer?
Yeah.
Or the pedestrians and the bicyclists?
It's more so to start safer. Slowing down traffic. But, you know, one of the areas where there have been a number of accidents are those rear end collisions at that the first traffic signal as you come in, because traffic, you know, just recently they changed that speed limit to where, you know, it did go from 65 to 45.
Yeah, there's a little step down.
And
by
there is a step down. It's not a very long step down. It seems like, you know, there that maybe could be better.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. What happened to the fog, Damien? We got clear skies out there. Yeah. Somebody screwed up.
I'm just reading what the government website tells me.
Oh, I see. You're going to blame it on NOAA. Okay. Well, congratulations, Troy. Thanks, bud. joining us this morning is Greg Sparks. Greg, the challenge with public safety, whether it's in the vehicle or whether it's these camping ordinances, I would suggest outside City Hall, looking wherever it is that I look, I don't know, probably up in the air, it's perceptual as much as reality. If we didn't have these folks begging on the corners, using their cardboard signs that have been used for so long that they're either sun faded or the corners are shot or there's so many folds you can't read it, I mean, long-term stuff. If they weren't there, if they weren't in the parking lots of your favorite fast food places, if they weren't in the retail shopping center, if they truly were trying to be away, out of sight, out of mind, community sense of safety would be 20% higher.
Well, right, particularly the ones that engage in the more aggressive panhandling. And I think the thing that's...
Well, even the lounge lizards. I mean, they used to be down in Old Town, and you'd see them back when the cement benches were there in the Bill Williams' dad's park. I forget what it's called, the one across from the Clark Museum.
Mm-hmm.
No, those were pulled out because they were taken over by the bums that would just sit there and spend their day working on their tan. But once those were gone, all of a sudden it kind of felt like there was a little relief.
I think the thing you find out, too, is that they aren't all homeless. There are people that are panhandling that... You know, they have an apartment, they have a house. This isn't just a homeless panhandling issue. It's a
job.
It certainly is for some. Had a little bit of back and forth discussion with Redding and Shasta County on because I'd heard that that the county over there was looking to decrease people's general relief by what they earned from panhandling. Well, found out that was just a rumor that hasn't happened, and really pretty hard to even figure that. That's it's probably not reported income.
Probably not.
just on a guess.
Yeah, and you probably don't get a donation slip for your tax purposes.
Right, right. they should have those available, right? So yeah, I think you know different communities have tried different strategies on how to deal with panhandling. We're actually looking at another. The Sacramento's panhandling ordinance, which has survived some a court case, and you know, I think that's one we'll want to visit with our council about, because right now we have an ordinance that prohibits aggressive panhandling. But in terms of that general panhandling law, those have been more difficult in California. They've run into court issues. So if we can find one that's withstood court challenge, we'd be interested in pursuing that.
Yeah, I love that. It's a freedom of speech issue. No, it's
that's,
not.
No, it's that's not. What the courts have ruled.
How much more complicated is dealing with Eureka's homeless? Is it because of the Coastal Commission? Not them specifically, but being in the coastal zone and the laws and regulations that accompany that?
You would think it, on one end, it should be easier. It seems like the Coastal Commission would be that you've got an environmental issue there that needs to be corrected and provide some resources to help correct that. That obviously that has not been the case. When the Coastal Commission was here in Humboldt County, when was that? A little over a month ago, a month and a half ago, I went over and testified and basically said, this should be a Coastal Commission area of concern because homelessness impacts the state of California from Crescent City to San Diego, and a lot of it is in the coastal zone. And to just say that from state standpoint, well, that's not our problem. That's just a local problem. That seems I think there's more they can be doing.
Oh, you didn't use a fancy word, huh?
I did not use a.
Okay, fine.
What kind of fancy word were you looking for me to use?
I would have said something along the lines like dereliction of duty.
I don't use inflammatory language.
Well, but is it? Or is it just calling a spade a shovel? If they had, they're tasked with protecting the coastal zone. Protecting the coastal zone. These guys are certainly causing damage. If it was the Sparks and the Pabsteins trying to do something that would have the same impact, there's no way we would get a permit. Ever. These are in there, it's ongoing, and they turn their back to it. That just doesn't seem to be executing the mission statement.
Right, and we have residents in Eureka that are, have made complaints to the Coastal Commission, to EPA, to State Water Quality Board, and certainly we respond to those complaints that we have a weekly cleanup effort, but we need some state assistance from an enforcement standpoint.
And statewide consistent regulation.
Absolutely.
It's like the UCC or the building code. It's across the board.
Right.
The cities don't have the obligation to have your own building ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
It's across the entire state. Public safety is involved, right?
Absolutely.
Well, so what's the diff? I don't know.
Unfortunately, every time
talk
about
you're really
this,
lucky I'm not an elected. I make your
anytime
life
when
so
we,
bad.
Believe me, staff-wise, when we talk about this issue, it's like, we start here, we go here, and we come full circle because certainly the point I've been making in the last couple months, probably more so, is that solving homelessness isn't a City of Eureka responsibility. And that some people find that, inflammatory or disagree with that. But we don't have – we spend $0 on local dollars of housing homeless people. We don't have a budget for that. We don't have staff for that. But we do deal with cleanups and we deal with enforcement issues.
You would deal with the residuals of –
And that's not to say that we don't deal with housing. We have we apply for federal and state funds for affordable housing programs. We've got the Danco project coming up on the old downtowner that we applied for and received funding for. So we're definitely involved in affordable housing, but in many cases from a homeless housing standpoint, the issue isn't affordable housing. It's whether or not there's free housing.
Because it's a budget priority for these folks?
It seems to be spending money on housing is not a priority.
No, it doesn't seem to be that way, does it? KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43. When I knock you off balance here, at least you're ready for the next time you hear that same question, right? In front of public testimony, you'll look like a champ. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:48. Final couple moments this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, as you travel through the city of Eureka, there's been some paving projects, or what appears to be paving, but it didn't look like asphalt was laid down. It's just a resurfacing and then striping of some of the main thoroughfares?
Yeah, you take the project on S and West Street. They went in and did patching. So those were, they were kind of squared out and patching it, and then went over the entire thing with more of this, slurry seal type thing. It's not a inch overlay type thing, but it seals it and extends the life of the street. And that's right. That's a street that's not in bad condition. Like, you point to a lot worse streets. Everding, I know we did earlier, this fall as well. That was potholed all the way through. The big problem we have is the amount of funds we get from state gas tax has been going down because of
Prius.
And as we've talked that before, because of better fuel efficiency on automobiles and people doing less driving during the recession. Now, you're starting to see miles go back up. But and then lower gas prices, which is great from a consumer standpoint. But less money that we have for maintenance. Years ago, City of Eureka, we had general fund dollars that could also go into street repair, and we just don't have general fund dollars available for that.
Is sales tax performing?
Sales tax is performing. It's been steadily increasing over the last several years, but it's not jumping wildly up.
It's not outpacing PERS in insurance?
No, it isn't.
Kind of sums it up. Thanks for coming by, Greg.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Join us Monday morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug some of you. See you tomorrow.